Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for the Viking Age. As always, I'm joined by Chris Shad, who writes for us here at the Viking Age, as well as Bring Me the News and Zone Coverage. I do have a quick question. It's not trivia.
I knew you'd come up with one. I'm proud of you.
I was inspired this weekend by some events in the state of Minnesota in multiple sports. A lot of people saw
which sport do you think you'd be talking about, Adam?
A lot of people saw the Rudy Gobert interaction had yesterday with a fellow.
Is that what we're calling it? An interaction?
Yes, a scuffle, I guess you could say. University of Minnesota did what Minnesota sports teams do and fumbled when the time for them to be the best came. So I'm just going to ask you, of the four major sports at this moment, which Minnesota team will win the championship first?
The four major sports? So we're not counting college, like just professional?
No college.
I think the Wild have the best chance out of the four. The Twins, like, it's interesting now because baseball has the expanded playoff thing. So, like, the Twins could get in as a six seed and, like, pull a championship out of their ass. Like, because they did it in 1987 when it actually was, like, two teams. Like, I think the Twins didn't win. I think they only won 85 games that year and they wound up winning the World Series because it was, like, you had four teams in the playoffs, two from each league. And then the Twins beat Tigers, okay, and then they beat the Cardinals. I was 1 year old, so you got to kind of.
Well, you don't remember?
Excuse me. No, I don't remember 91 either, which sucks. It's like, man, I wish I would have watched that instead of.
You remember 98 and 2009?
I remember all that. I remember Saturday night as well. Like, mm-hmm, the tweet I sent out said, like, I haven't been this disappointed since last week. Honestly, I was talking about Cody Rhodes losing, not Minnesota sports, but it still fits. So I'm just running with it. I say the Wild because they have, I mean, there's a lot of annoying things about the Wild. Like, the media coverage here makes it sound like they're going to sweep the Bruins in the Stanley Cup Finals, which they're not that good. But they have a lot of young players. They're starting to build a nucleus. And in a couple of years, when Parise and Suter's contracts are off the books, they can spend like drunken sailors in free agency and patch all the holes. Second, I would put, it's between the Vikings and the Twins. Twins haven't won a playoff game in 20 years, so I got to put them below the Vikings. But I think the Vikings are second. A lot of it's going to depend on how they handle this whole quarterback thing. Yep. And how they build around the quarterback, which we'll talk about later. And then, you know, you have the Twins who haven't won a playoff game, whatever, but I could see like some promising things on the horizon. The Wolves, I don't know what the hell they're going to do. Like, you spent five first round picks and five players on this dude who has pickleball paddles for hands. And, you know, I mean, when you trade for a guy named Rudy, I mean, you can't spell Rudy Poo Candy Ass without Rudy. So that should have been your first tip off there. And the fact that, you know, a lot of people, I mean, everybody in Utah said, oh, yeah, he's a great guy. He's a great locker room guy and everything else. Of course, they're going to say that. They don't want people to think they're going to get fleeced out of the gate. Like, yeah, that guy was an asshole. Good riddance. No, nobody says that.
Unless, I mean, like, you know, we could have all known that from his press conference during
touching the beginnings the of and COVID. Stuff.
And he's like, oh, I'm just going to touch everything. And then like a week later, he got COVID.
Yeah, I know. Tim Connelly put out a statement after that punch yesterday, and I thought to myself, it's good to know he's alive. Like, he hasn't said much since, Rudy's kind of turned out to be a lemon. But, yeah, I don't know if it's trading Rudy for 25 cents on the dollar or any of that. Like, the Timberwolves are just, they're honestly worse than the Twins. Like, I loved last year's unhinged Timberwolves more than this year's unhinged Timberwolves. They're both unhinged. They're just unhinged in a less fun way. So, I don't know. I would love to see him do well and whatever, but, this is a Vikings podcast. Probably the most pain out of all of the major sports. I go for hockey loss and I'm like, I'm not a big college hockey guy. So I was just like, whatever.
Just
when you play to link it to a Vikings thing and get us back, when you play an Ed Donatell defense for half the game, and like, when you have, like, they basically had the 98 Vikings on offense with Logan Cooley, Jimmy Snuggerud, and Matthew Nyes. Those are three players that are going to be stars in the NFL. They sat on their freaking hands for the last 30 minutes, and they didn't do shit. They just sat there, and they're like, oh, Quinnipiac's is going to pump us with pucks. It's like, well, yeah, what the hell did you think was going to happen? So, I don't know. They'll be back. The Gophers are like the Yankees of college hockey, but, I mean, it's the one sport they don't have to battle the transfer portal, right?
Yeah. I guess I don't know too much about college hockey. So
yeah. You want to talk about football? Like, I feel like some people are like, did I click on the right pod? Yeah. I clicked on the right pod. Right?
All right. We'll get into it. So yesterday, news is kind of slow in the NFL this time of year. I feel like it's slower than normal.
Smoke screen season.
It is. Lots of mock drafts, you know, your favorite. But yesterday some significant news came down. Easter Sunday. It was announced that the Ravens and free agent wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. have agreed to a 1-year contract worth up to $18 million. I think it's 15 guaranteed, and he can earn up to $18 million with incentives. Still, $15 million for 1 year for Odell Beckham Jr. Some believed that Beckham could have potentially ended up with the Vikings given his past working relationship with Kevin O'Connell and his friendship with Justin Jefferson, but Minnesota clearly could not afford what Beckham was looking to make in 2023. So my question for you is, are the Vikings are they better off not giving Beckham the deal that he got from the Ravens?
Well, I think Beckham is a player that has a lot of name value, but not a lot of on-field value. I think everybody knows what Beckham did at the beginning of his career. It was like an early career Randy Moss, right?
Jefferson.
Yeah. Big vertical. I would compare him more to Randy Moss because he's more of like that play receiver. As opposed to Justin Jefferson can do a little bit of everything.
All around.
Like, yeah. I would compare. Somebody's going to probably slap me.
Jerry Rice.
Jerry, have you made that comp?
No, I think you have.
Yeah. Well, he's Jerry Rice, where he wants to do everything. Yeah. He wants to be a complete receiver. Randy Moss wasn't going to run over the middle. And same thing with Odell Beckham. Right. Like, yeah, he'll do a couple of plays, but I mean, he's more of a vertical threat. Since leaving New York, which I believe was, I can't remember what the injury was, whether there was an AC, he tore his ACL first time in Cleveland. So I think he broke his leg or something. But as soon as he had the fallout with the Giants, he went to Cleveland, didn't do much except for bitch about Baker Mayfield and tear his ACL. Goes, has that big run with Kevin O'Connell and Sean McVay in Los Angeles on the way to the Super Bowl. Then he sits out an entire year, gets drunk and drugged up and, causes a ruckus on a plane. And here we are. Yeah. So you're giving that guy $18 million to do what exactly? And he's going to a place. Yeah. That's basically exactly what's happening right now. He's going to a place where they don't know offense. The Ravens don't know what offense is. They know what defense is, and they know what overdrafting receivers in the third round is. So they are a desperate team right now. They have Tom Monken, who I believe was at the University of Georgia the past couple of years with that offense. So that should help. But, I mean, the Vikings didn't need Odell Beckham Jr. It would have been fun. It would have been a blast. But if you give him $18 million, what else do you do with this team? You don't have money to go spend $18 million on a receiver and then do that. And the other thing we need to keep in mind, too, is that Kevin O'Connell talked in a recent session about what he wants in a second receiver across from Justin Jefferson. And he talked about Jefferson being the focal point and complementary pieces around him. That's a big reason why Adam Thielen is no longer in Minnesota, because Adam Thielen wants to have a whole bunch of targets. He wants to be the guy. I don't think he wants to be a number one. He just wants to be a number two that gets a ton of targets. So you had a guy like Beckham, you might run into the same situation that you ran into with Adam Thielen. So I just think that, you know, it just wasn't a fit here. It would have been fun. We can all do it on Madden if we really wanted to. But it's not something that I was like, oh, damn, we didn't get Odell Beckham. No, I think that his value has really been in name only since he left the Giants.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, he's 30. He's torn his ACL twice since 2020. So he's an aging receiver who's been hurt for the last few years. The Vikings just got rid of someone like that, and Adam Thielen. Yeah. I know Thielen played all 17 games last year, but he was kind of banged up for most of the year. And then the previous two seasons before that, he missed time with injuries and he was due a bunch of money. And that Odell Beckham wants, you know, he gets a contract for $15 million and the Vikings are like, no, we're not going to do that. We don't have any money.
Yeah.
Two, we have other priorities, you know, like Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, Christian Darrisaw to give money to. And I think they're looking at positions that they can get the most value out of with draft picks. And I think receiver is one of those where that position is probably going to be more expensive if you spend money in free agency as compared to getting, you know, someone in the draft, similar to a bunch of positions coming up, you know, like running back that we'll talk about later, receiver, edge rusher. Like these are positions you want to hit on in the draft because they're going to cost less than if you would have to pay them in 4 or 5 years. So I'm not, it would have been fun, yeah, to have Odell on the Vikings because he's a fun player. I'm a fan of his. I just like players that are kind of polarizing like him, like Randy Moss and Terrell Owens, just because people are always ragging on him for their behaviors or whatever. But I'm like, compare him to someone like Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham is a saint. Like he's had antics on the field. He really hasn't, like the thing on the plane was like, probably made into a bigger deal than it was. But that's probably really the only off the field incident that he's ever had in his entire career. Everything else has been, you know, rightfully so. He did not get along, I believe, with who was the Giants coach that looked like a gym teacher. He was the
Joe Judge.
No, not him.
Pat Shermer.
No, not him. He was the Panthers.
Bob McAdoo.
I think he played in the NBA. Ben McAdoo. You were close. Yeah, Ben McAdoo. Rightfully so. He had
probably. I wouldn't call him a gym teacher. I'd call him something else, but.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
what are you doing here, Ben?
But huh? Yeah. Oh, that's exactly what came to my mind, too. All right, moving on. It wasn't going to work out because Odell's price tag was too high and good for the Ravens for giving him what they wanted or what he wanted. Clearly they're trying to make Lamar happy because I guess Lamar had like some influence on getting him to come over. Of course the Jets are the team that gets screwed in this situation because they're always
I love it.
The team that gets screwed.
Everybody wants to play with me. I was sitting there sipping tequila and drinking some ayahuasca tea and I decided that everybody wants to play for me. And OBJ is like, $18 million? Yeah, I'll take that. Sorry,
but you know what?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Now there's room for Randall Cobb on the Jets. So, you know, he's happy.
That's the one thing holding everybody up. It's like, have you gotten me Randall Cobb yet? excuse me?
Do we think the chances are any higher or lower or anything now that OBJ is not with the Vikings? Does it change any of their strategy heading in the draft? Or have they already maybe moved on from the possibility of signing him?
So we looked at the top 30 visits last week, and I believe it was Quentin Johnston and Jordan Addison to the Vikings in those visits. Those are both interesting, but so is a quote by Kevin O'Connor. I mentioned a little bit. He's looking for complementary pieces to build around Justin Jefferson.
When did he say that?
He said it in a media session. So I saw this. Yeah, I think so. I'm not exactly sure. I saw it on NFL trade rumors and they quoted it. And all it said was a local media session. So
okay.
I don't know. I don't know why they didn't link it or whatever. Maybe that's a meme site. And I don't know. I'm a journalist, by the way.
They're pretty. NFL trade rumors is actually a pretty legit site. They share a lot of things. So it's not like NFC North News on Twitter or whatever.
Right.
Makes sense.
Makes up the little Photoshop things Kyle Anderson told Rudy Gobert to shut the bleep up. Actually, he did say that.
Yeah.
you know, I listen to that quote. I look at the receiver position and I don't think the Vikings are going to take one in round one. I don't think it happens. They might do it a day two, day three. And historically, that's when you have to take your receivers is within the first 2 days of the draft because day three receivers, they don't normally pan out. You get a Stephon Diggs every once in a while. You get, you know, I'm trying to think of another other day three receivers, but, you know, you get your Adam Thielens, your UDFAs, but normally top 2 days are where you want to take your wide receiver. And like right now, I saw something Jim Nagy tweeted out, who runs the Senior Bowl. He said he's heard, and again, it is smokescreen season, that Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the only receiver that teams are considering as a first round pick. Dane Brugler from The Athletic also kind of echoed that, because Smith-Njigba was the only first round prospect among receivers. The rest of them were first to second round prospects. So I'm starting to wonder, you know, especially if the Vikings want to trade back from 23, they might pull the trigger on a receiver, especially if they have an early day two pick. Like, let's say the Steelers trade 31 to move up to 23. I could see that happening. But I mean, as far as taking a receiver at 23 or trading up for one, I don't see that happening, because I don't think the Vikings view it as a, oh my God, we have to draft a number two receiver. Cause I think they might be fine with KJ Osborne and Jalen Naylor in those roles. I know a lot of people are kind of like, I don't know, but I think that it's a priority, but it's not a gotta have it.
Yeah. I mean, part of the reason why Adam Thielen might actually have wanted out of Minnesota is because he probably knew what was coming this year, and they were going to switch to a different kind of strategy on offense, where not necessarily, you know, focus more on the run, but more about, you know, we're going to be more physical, and when we pass the ball, it's either probably going to go to Justin Jefferson or TJ Hawkinson, and Thielen probably saw that and was like, that doesn't include me, so I don't want to be here if that's going to be the case. I'm not going to just be here to block for everybody. You know, looking at some, like, day two for the draft the last few years has kind of been a bit of a hotbed for receivers. I think what we've seen, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman Jr., Chase Claypool, even day three, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Of course, day three in 2021 as well, you know, the Vikings drafted the, you know, well-known Amir Smith-Marset. He went on to do great things for the Vikings, especially when he was on the Bears. He helped out the Vikings a lot. But yeah, like, I agree with you. I think, like, the Vikings strategy on offense is going to be a lot different than it was the first year. The first year was kind of like feeling it out. Who do we got? What can we do with all these players? And the second year is kind of like more shifting into what Kevin O'Connell really wants to do with his team moving forward, and like establishing their kind of identity on offense. And he's trying to get the players that he wants, because last year, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't really move on from a lot of players. They brought a lot of players back from the year before, so he kind of had to work with what he had. Where this offseason, it seems like they're more being able to do kind of what they want to do with their roster, and that might include, you know, adding a receiver in the first round. But like you said, it doesn't seem like that's where they're headed, and it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot to choose from when it comes to first round receivers as well. Yeah, KJ Osborne, number two. Like, if that's what happens to start the year, I don't think it's terrible. He's a solid receiver, and if we figure out that, like, his role is essentially going to be the number three, like, target in the offense, I don't think it's going to be that much different than what he's done in the past, and I don't think it's going to really, like, impact. Now, if he gets hurt, then you have, you know, immediately it's Jalen Naylor who's next up in
line.
Or if Justin Jefferson gets hurt, and then, you know, KJ Osborne has to be the number one, then yeah. So they should draft a receiver, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to be in the first round. It would probably be, like you said, day two in round two or three, because that seems like you can still get a really solid, legit receiver in those in the first three rounds. So yeah. All right, moving on. Still sticking with the draft stuff. Today, Adam Schefter tweeted out that at least six teams have inquired with the Arizona Cardinals about trading up for the third overall pick in this year's NFL draft. And the Cardinals are still mulling whether to move the pick or make it. I'm sure they are. They're definitely just waiting for an offer that they like. Fantasy Pros Thor Nystrom, who has been on this podcast, I guess we could say friend of the show.
Yes.
Later tweeted out that in order for the Vikings to trade up to the number three pick this year, they would likely have to give up this year's first and third round picks, along with their first round picks in 2024, 2025. So that's a pretty significant amount of assets the Vikings would have to give up, probably, if not more, to move up from pick 23 to pick number three. So, Chris, should the Vikings attempt to trade up to the number three pick, or would it just be giving up too much to get up there?
This would be similar to what the San Francisco 49ers did ahead of getting Trey Lance, right? They were in the middle. They decided, hey, we want a quarterback outside of Jimmy Garoppolo. And they said, all right, YOLO, let's trade up to three. And then the whole debate ensued where Kyle Shanahan, offensive genius, wanted, sorry, I'm getting a call
Mac from Jones.
Somebody right now, but offensive genius, Kyle Shanahan, talking about how,
he wanted Mac Jones.
Yes, he wanted Mac Jones, and John Lynch wanted Trey Lance, and Lynch got his way. They took Trey Lance as the third overall pick in the draft, and it has not panned out. Do the Vikings feel the same way about, you know, the quarterbacks in this class? Do they fit? Because here's the other thing we need to consider is Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch did that, and they had a long runway. They had, I don't know how many years are on their contract, but it's a while, okay?
Right.
Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell are in the second year of four-year contracts. Because remember last year, everybody looked at it and said, it's kind of odd, it's only 4 years. Well, it's because the Wolves want to at least go 9-7, or excuse me, win 9 games every year. Damn it, 17th game gets me every time. You know, I would love it. I would be jacked if the Vikings made a big move to go get their quarterback of the future. But I would also wonder, you know, they could make this pick and not be around for it to develop. So like if they, because I think that would be the guy, right? It would be Anthony Richardson. I don't think they'd trade that high to take Will Levis. I sure as hell don't think we would have to go live if they traded up to three just to take Hendon. Like, you want meltdown? I'll give you a full meltdown. There might be a nuclear glow coming from Brookings, just from my anger towards Hendon Hooker at three. It would be off the charts. I would probably be locked up. They'd be like, you cannot do podcasts anymore. You can't do media. We're just going to blackmail you and put you in this changer because you're a threat to society. I just feel like it would be, I don't know. I feel like that would be a lot considering what the Vikings have to do in order to keep their jobs. Because even if they make that trade, let's say Anthony Richardson's, you know, people are talking, they're like, man, he looks pretty good. But Kirk Cousins, you know, goes in the tank. That is a lot of pressure in year three to win with a guy who sat for a year and needs to develop because Anthony Richardson is not ready to hit the field immediately. So I would like it. It would be exciting, right? But man, that would have me nervous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the price is just too much for them to move up. If you're going by what Thor said, with three first round picks in your third this year, that means this year you don't have a pick. Well, you have your first round pick, you get the number three, but then you don't have a pick until the fourth round. I would assume Kwesi would try and trade back in or whatever. And then how are you trading back in? Are you trading next year's picks to get into the third round or the second round this year? So like you're going to do this trade and then the final 2 years of your contract, you're not going to have a first round pick. That doesn't seem too smart. I feel like his move would be to rather accumulate picks, not in the seventh round. But
my watch is like going crazy right now. It's like people know I'm like on air or something.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, you want to talk? Hey, you want to do things? No, I'm busy right now, guys. Hang on. I am listening to you. I'm just kind of.
Okay. I just think it's too much. I think where the Vikings are in the draft at 23, it's just too much for them to move up. I think someone mentioned that the Falcons moved up from a similar spot to get Julio Jones and the trade was similar back in the day, but I think they were way more set up. Julio Jones was kind of just like a final piece to kind of get them over the hump. I don't think the Vikings trading up to get a quarterback who's not going to play this season, trading up that much to get a quarterback. You know, if you're going to trade 23 to 10 and you give up, you know, this year's first and maybe next year's first, okay, that's fine. I can deal with that. But to not have a first round pick for the next, you know, 2 years is going full Rams, which Kwesi said he doesn't, you know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go full Rams. So I just think the price,
for a rookie,
would just be too much.
Like if you're doing it for an all pro veteran.
Yeah. It's not Matthew Stafford. Like that. It could be like Anthony Richardson. No. He's got like before the combine. Was he a top five pick?
A lot of people were hoping the Vikings get him.
Not by the majority, but he had that combine and now he's like, you know, top three, top five pick. So that's a big risk to give up all that for a guy who's, like you said, unproven. So I don't think so. I think the price is just too much for the Vikings to trade up. But, you know, what would your reaction be if the Vikings actually did this? Like, what, let's say there's been some rumors that the Texans aren't going to take a quarterback, like that they're going to either someone's going to trade for the number two pick or they're going to take like an edge rusher like Will Anderson or something, because that would be such a Texans move to, like, because who's even their quarterback? Davis Mills still? Yeah, I think so.
The Knack. I feel like I want to see Mike Glettenon and Davis Mills
stand next to each
into
other.
A fight, but just use their necks as like swords. Just like, like, say, that's so weird. It's like Stretch Armstrong.
Or Mr. Fantastic, like, or whatever from Fantastic Four.
Yeah. They'd have to wear helmets, of course, because yeah, like, I don't, you know, CTE.
But what, you know, what would your reaction actually be if the Vikings made a move like this?
Excitement. Yeah. Excitement, right? And I think a little bit of bewilderment, because it means they obviously like a guy. I mean, like I said, if they do it and it winds up being Hendon Hooker, I have serious questions about what, you know, is Kwesi just the most gullible person ever? Like, oh yeah, well, yeah, Hendon Hooker could be the third quarterback off the board. Kwesi's like, oh my God,
what's we got to trade up. 10-yard shuttle time? Here? Hold on.
just looking everything up. If it's CJ Stroud.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I would be very excited because I feel like those two prospects are in a different tier in this draft. I know there's no such thing as a sure thing. I know a lot of people like to sit there and scream that on Twitter, but I mean, those two quarterbacks are the ones that would probably get the most excitement from me because it means the Vikings are serious about this franchise quarterback of the future. I would be a little bit worried, especially considering this state's history with big trades, not only in the NBA, but on the gridiron as well. We all remember the Herschel Walker deal.
Cowboys do.
So that might be, yeah, the Cowboys definitely remember the Herschel Walker deal. You know, it's not to get off top, that trade is so crazy. Like, looking back on it, like, obviously you and I were a little bit young when it happened, yeah. But like reading, there's a book by Jeff Perlman called Boys Will Be Boys. 100% recommended, by the way, because the intro of the book has Michael Irvin stabbing his teammate in the neck with a pair of scissors. Huh. So go check it out. But, you know, they're just like listing, it's like, yeah. And they're like, oh yeah, well, the Vikings gave up a first rounder and these players, but if they cut them, they could get more draft picks. It's like, why the hell would the Cowboys keep those players then?
Right.
Like,
why would the Vikings agree?
Even like me, yeah. Even like teenage me reading about this thing being like, yeah, that's not smart. And general manager was like, ah, let's do it. Get the running back.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was, I don't think they got Troy Aikman or that deal. I think they got Michael Irvin.
Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith.
He was one of them.
Was Michael Irvin already on the team?
Irvin was on the team. Let's look. I'm going to see.
I feel like they got like a bunch of good guys. But yeah, that trade was terrible. But like, yeah, why would the Vikings do that? Like, here, yeah, we'll give you these guys. But if you cut them, then we'll just give you, you know, first round pick instead. What? No. That's not a good trade.
Okay. So it was 5 players and 6 draft picks. The players that went over there were Jesse Solomon, Isaac Holt, Darren Nelson, David Howard, and Alex Stewart. I'm trying to... But
Darren Nelson was really like the only guy.
Yeah, and Darren Nelson, people remember him from the 1987 NFC Championship game. We're really talking about 1987 here. But yes, I do know they got Emmitt Smith out of that deal. And
they won
the rest is history. Yeah, they did okay.
So, you know, just word of advice, if you're in Minnesota, don't do a big trade that involves more than 4 draft picks, because it's likely not going to work.
4 is the magic number.
Not going to work out. You just hang out and just wait for, you know, the pick 20 to just, you know, Justin Jefferson drop in your lap, Randy Moss drop in your lap, Christian Darrisaw drop in your lap. Just wait. Just wait around. It's been a lot better, you know. So, yeah, I just think, I guess if they do trade up for the number 3 pick, I would just be like, okay, let's go. If you guys are ready, let's do this. Like, let's all get on board. Let's not freak out. Like, I know a lot of people would be like, oh my God, they gave up too much. And just like, just let them do it. If they're going to screw up, they're going to screw up. But if not, you know, it's not like the Vikings have ever really made a move like this in their history. And they've tried pretty much everything else. So why not? Why not try this and see if it works? If it doesn't, oh, well, guess what? It joins the rest of all their, you know, plans that they fell flat on their face. So, like, if they do this and it doesn't work out, so what? At least they tried. That's all I really think anyone wants out of this regime. Just try. Just try and do something. Huh? That's it. Like, don't just be like, oh, well, we got Kirk Cousins. He's okay. I guess we'll just see what we can do. No, let's not be the Jeff Fisher Vikings for, you know, or the Marvin Lewis Vikings for the rest of their existence. Just do something. Doing something in the NFL draft would be doing something like drafting former Texas running back Bijan Robinson, which is a topic that you brought up to me last night. So I'm going to kind of just give you the floor here since it was kind of just your idea about, you know, wanting to trade for him. So, you know, drafting a running back in the first round is kind of frowned upon now in this day and age of the NFL. Definitely don't do it in the top 5 or top 10 or maybe not even top 15 anymore. But there can be a lot of benefits of it because of, you know, the cost that you can get and the production that you can get out of a rookie running back of someone's ability like a Bijan Robinson. So, Chris, why should the Vikings draft former Texas running back Bijan Robinson with their top pick this year?
So I'll start with a bit of a disclaimer here that this conversation it started at the beginning of the draft process because you look at the big board, you look at everything else. The Vikings are at 23. You know Bijan Robinson's not going to go in the top 10, right? But according to the mock draft consensus board, Bijan Robinson is mostly regarded as a top 10 prospect and is 12th on the consensus.
Not according to PSN.
So, yeah, well, hang on, I'm getting there. I brought this up to Purple Insider's Matthew Collar at the beginning of the draft process, and I thought I was going to give him a stroke. He was just like, Kwesi should be fired. Running backs have no soul. And I'm not smashing Matthew. No. Guy. Like, this is how people think. This is how people think of the NFL. He's not alone. Like, my take is very off the beaten path. So, you know, he laid out all the things, like, this team needs a lot more needs. And I agree with him. He said nothing that isn't true. But let's get back to where we were, I don't know, about 10, 15 minutes ago. Kwesi and Kevin O'Connell are on 4-year contracts right now. They're heading into the second year. They won 13 games last year. Their owners are obsessed with having a floor of a mediocre season. They do not want, you know, the 2-win season that, you know, you see the Lions,
the
Jets, and all those teams. Yeah. Yeah, it could help them. They could get a good quarterback, but they don't want that. They don't want to be an embarrassment. They want to be relevant every year. And I think that drives some Vikings fans crazy. Mm-hmm. But when you do that, you have a pick in the middle of the first round. You have 23 or whatever. So if you're sitting there at 23, and this is barring a trade up or trade down or whatever, the Vikings can do this if they trade down too. It doesn't matter. But if they take Bijan, like, you have to look around and be like, okay, you know, you're basically looking for the Justin Jefferson of that position, right? Like, the Vikings did get Justin Jefferson at 22. They got Randy Moss at 21 in 1998. And they got Christian Darrisaw at 23 a couple of years ago. So you can look at that, but that's not the norm. Out of NFL history, the players that have been selected at 23, there's been 53 since the AFL and NFL merged. Only 3 of them have been Hall of Famers. Only 14 of them have been Pro Bowlers. And in the last, I believe it's 15 years, only 4 players who have been selected 23rd overall have been the starter for 5 or more years at their position, which is kind of a baseline because if you have them for 4, you have that 5th-year option, you exercise the option, they come back, unless you're like Gary Bradbury, where you're like, well, you know, he's okay, we'll just bring him back and we'll try and find another center in the draft, right? So you're sitting there, the Vikings are sitting there, and they're saying, hey, we need to find a player that can push us over the top. Who is the most likely player to be a Justin Jefferson at their position? And in this draft, that answer is Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
He is an elite running back, which, of course, people will be poo-poo and whatever. But he's also an elite receiver. His average depth of target was 6.8 yards, according to Pro Football Focus. That was 3rd among qualifying running backs in the NCAA last year. So he is elite. By comparison, Dalvin Cook for his career has an average depth of target of 1.5. So you have a back. Yeah. Dalvin Cook gets his passing yardage on screens. Yeah. This guy can go downfield. Yeah. And Kevin O'Connell mentioned this at the combine, that he wants backs that can get involved in the receiving game. Like, and I know a lot of people are screaming, well, positional value, like all this stuff. Okay, there's a difference between taking a guy at pick 23, like you would with Bijan Robinson, yeah, and paying Dalvin Cook 5 years and $60 million or whatever it was. Because when you did that, you had his value go through the roof. If, according to the rookie pay scale on Over the Cap, it's roughly going to be a four-year, $14 million contract for Bijan Robinson. You use him through there, and who knows? He might blow his knee out. You could say that about any of the corners or any of the quarterbacks or any of the wide receivers you can take in this.
A Vikings player hurt his knee? What?
Right. Like, I'm just saying, like, this could happen at any point, right? But you have a four-year, $14 million contract. David Montgomery got 3 years, $18 million, and he's way advanced in his career. You are getting elite production from your backfield for these 4 years. And then, if he's good, you use your fifth-year option, you pay him that money, and you do what the Giants and Raiders did this offseason. Say, okay, we'll give you the franchise tag. 1 year, $10 million. By that point, you're in year seven. You look for another one. And you might still be saying, well, you know, you could just get a seventh round running back and like Isaiah Pacheco, or you could get, you could just run a committee. Just use Alexander Mattison out there.
He'll just be as good as Dalvin.
He's just as good as Dalvin. And like, he's just as good. BJ, like, they're paying him cheap. Okay. The thing about these committees, yeah, there are some that are good. You hear about those all the time, right? There are a bunch of committees in the NFL that absolutely suck, like terrible. Yeah. And you know, even we mentioned him before, offensive genius Kyle Shanahan, right? We talk about, you know, he's so brilliant and he's got all these offensive weapons. He lost his shit last year and traded four draft picks for Christian McCaffrey, including a second, third, and fourth round pick in this year's draft. Now, the 49ers got them back because they're one of the teams that'll actually hire minority candidates. The NFL said, we'll give you picks if you do this. And they're like, okay, yeah, sure, let's bring them all in. And they got like seven draft picks back, and they're like, LOL, let's go pick more players. But I look at this, like, if you draft, what's the topic? Like, if you draft Joey Porter Jr.,
right?
The odds of him being Sauce Gardner out of the gate, which is what the Vikings need, are slim to none. If you drop Bijan Robinson, you get an elite, barring injury, you get an elite running back, and you get another weapon on an offense that, quite frankly, lacks top tier options right now. You have Justin Jefferson, you have TJ Hawkinson, but you know what is going to scare teams more? Just Justin Jefferson running out there with Alexander Mattison and TJ Hawkinson, or you get Bijan Robinson. It's like, I could either let Justin Jefferson destroy me, I could get steamrolled by Bijan, or I can let Bijan, you know, catch passes at 6 yards a pop. Like, it's a pick your poison thing. And the best part about this is, like, let's think of it this way. We're like, oh, but the defense, you got to fix the defense. You got to take corners. You got to take all these guys. The defense needs so much help. You know what the best way to fix this defense is right now?
Keep them off the field.
It's not going to be fixed overnight. Yes. Keep them off the field. Time of possession. The Vikings have been one of the worst time of possession teams in the NFL over the past several years. You get a running game that works, like, that helps. And you know what? The Vikings are thinking this way because their free agent moves. Their first free agent move was sign a freaking blocking tight end. Their second, one of their other moves was to extend their fullback. Teams don't like fullbacks. What the hell is going on? And then they flirted with David Montgomery before re-signing Alexander Mattison. So if I'm at 23 and I'm looking at everything here, and that's barring them, you know, trading up for a quarterback or doing whatever, if they stay at 23, I think Bijan should be the pick. I think that's the biggest needle mover that they can make. And I'm going to get shredded for this. I know, because, you know, people have read PFF. Like, PFF, it ticks me off so much looking at PFF in this argument, because you look at their big board right now. Bijan Robinson is the 27th ranked prospect in this class. In their draft guide, you thumb over to their draft guide. Their comparison for Bijan is Edgerrin James, who is a freaking Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah.
Quentin Johnson is number 10 on that list. You know who his comparison is? Martavis Bryant. What are we doing here? And I know PFF's like been the like cheerleader of running backs don't matter. They're evil and have no soul. They're like gingers. Like, get them out of here. Like, we shouldn't even use running backs. Like, you know, they should just not have a position. Positionless football. Yay. Well, like, I got to give them credit. They are so committed to the bit that they, when you go on their page and you look at running back grades, receiving grades are above rushing grades for running backs. You know, running back, rushing, running the ball. No, receiving. Pro Football Focus. Like, what are we doing here? That's what I want to know. Like, I totally get it. So, I don't know. If you're anti-running back, I don't know. We'll just agree to disagree. But I think that that's the one player that can move the needle for the Vikings in this draft. And again, the Vikings want to win. They don't want to do this tanking thing. This is the best way to do it. Turn your offense into a top five juggernaut with a badass running back and a badass wide receiver and see what happens. And here's the other thing too. I'll leave this here because I know I'm ranting on a little bit. We're talking about the future of the quarterback position, right? You know what the best thing is when you probably can't get a quarterback because it's not looking like it. And I mean, unless you want to like reach for Hendon Hooker at 23, build the infrastructure around the quarterback. So when you are at that point, when you're like, dude, we're a quarterback away, there's going to be some pissed off quarterback somewhere that's going to be like, this is bullshit. Get me out of here. And Minnesota is going to look pretty damn good. So that is why I think you have to consider taking Bijan Robinson in the first round. Fight me.
Oh, I hope Joe Burrow gets pissed off in like the next 2 years.
I want to go play with JJ. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I Joe Burrow came to my mind too because it made me think of like the Lamar thing and how the Ravens don't want to play him because he wants fully guaranteed money and they can't give it to him because they don't really have the money. Because if you give someone fully guaranteed, you have to give them all that money right there. So if he wants $200 million fully guaranteed, they have to give it to him. And if you don't have it, then you can't give it to him. So that's part of the reason why they don't want to pay him. So something similar with Joe Burrow and the Bengals, who the Bengals are notoriously a cheap organization. So Joe Burrow is going to want $200 million fully guaranteed, and the Bengals are going to be like, we don't have that. So is Joe Burrow going to want to get his money somewhere else? Like from the Vikings, who are going to have a bunch of cap space, and Justin Jefferson's going to be like, yes, sign him. So yeah. But with Bijan, I think you can, you know, people might scoff at this or whatever, but I think you can kind of compare it to the situation that the Vikings were in the 98 draft when they drafted Randy Moss, where they didn't need Randy Moss. They had Chris Carter. They had Jake Reed. They don't need him, but they got him, and he elevated that offense to an elite level. So that's sort of the thing with like Bijan. Like, do they need him? No. Like, they still have Dalvin Cook. He's going to be gone or whatever. But like, can they get by with Alexander Mattison and Ty Chandler as running backs? Yeah, they can. They still have Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson or whatever. They can be fine. But you add someone like a Bijan Robinson to the Vikings offense, it can take them to that elite level, like the Chiefs or the Bengals or the Dolphins or whatever. Like, you can get to that level by adding someone like Bijan. And this is a scenario, like a best player available scenario. Like, this is how you should draft. If Bijan is still on the board at 23, which I don't think he will be. I think he'll go within the top 20. I think somebody's going to be like, either he's on the board and we got to get him before somebody else does or whatever.
And then they'll get ripped for it for no reason.
And then he'll be like,
why would you do that?
And then he'll be rookie of the year and everyone will be like, oh, he's amazing. And yeah. Well, where were all these comments a year ago? Because look at someone like Breece Hall. He was on track to be like rookie of the year and then he got hurt. But yeah, like best player available is how you should draft. I think a lot of people, when you do mock drafts, you're drafting for need. And that's not really how teams really approach it. They have a board. They go by the guys that are left on their board, who's ever like left, and they go with those guys. Like that's kind of why, you know, the Vikings drafted Justin Jefferson after they traded Stephon Diggs. But Justin Jefferson was an elite prospect. And he was on the top of the Vikings board when it came time for them to draft him too as well. So like, do the Vikings need Bijan? No, but could he take them to that elite level, that elite offense level that you need to be a championship contender? Like the Vikings offense is not at that level, no matter what, if they have Justin Jefferson right now or TJ Hockenson. Like Kirk Cousins can stick around if you can sign him to another extension or whatever. If you got Bijan, your offense is rolling, go ahead. I don't care. If your offense is awesome, you can keep Kirk Cousins. Like, that'll give you a little bit more time to figure out what your plan is after him. So I like this. I have no problem with it. I just think that people get scared now because of a running back, you know, in the first round. But it has a lot of benefits. Like you mentioned, the cost. The amount of production, it is such a low cost, high reward risk that Kwesi likes to take, like something like this, or like look at the trade for Jalen Reagor. He's like, whatever, this guy sucks for the Eagles. Let's just trade for him. Let's see if he's good. It didn't work out. Whatever. Kind of the same thing with TJ Hockenson. Hockenson was okay with the Lions. Like he had a productive season out of the time he was there. But then when he got to the Vikings, he was like, he was a top tight end in the league, and they're expecting him to move forward and do that. So that was a risk worth taking. And I think he could view something like drafting Bijan as a low risk, high reward situation as well, because he's not going to cost anything. Okay. If it doesn't work out, whatever. You could try again later. But like, cause like I said, did the Vikings need Bijan? No, but they didn't need Randy Moss in 98 either. So, and that turned out. Would drafting Robinson in the first round change any of the Vikings' future plans for Kirk Cousins? Do you think they already have a plan in place, and if they got Bijan, it wouldn't change anything? Or do you think taking someone like him would kind of change things up a bit?
Remember what the Vikings did the year after taking Randy Moss?
They drafted And Jim Klein's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, it depends what happens with these quarterbacks, man. If like some team wants to take Hendon Hooker top 10, like people are suggesting, like don't fall over yourself to go get
Demetrius Underwood. Like, was he 98 or 99? I feel like he was 98.
He was the next year. Yeah, he was the Vikings' actual first round pick. So they got a first round pick. Believe it or not, the Vikings got a first round pick for like Brad Johnson. So that was the pick that was Dante Culpepper to Washington. Yes.
That's a terrible trade.
Yeah. And then, we can't laugh too hard because their next pick was Demetrius Underwood.
I understand, but Brad Johnson.
They had issues there. Denny Green knew offense, man. He just didn't know defense. Like all his defensive first round picks, you go back and look at him, it's like, ugh. But offense, he knew what he was doing. So there was that. You know, I still think that Kirk is not going to be here in 2024. And like, you know what? If he walks and he goes, no, I didn't get my contract, and you guys clearly don't want me here, and kind of pouts or whatever, you just sign a bridge quarterback, and then you take your guy in 2024. I mean, worst case scenario, let's say the Vikings have this awesome season, right? They have this incredible season. You know, Kirk gets them there. They'll probably go to Kirk and be like, hey, man, we would like to keep you around at least for another 1 or 2 years. Like, you know, it's not going to be fully guaranteed. That's your thing. We get it. But you're also 36 years old, and we want to take a quarterback to keep this thing going. Like, is he going to take the money, or do you get I'm just going to use this example because it's the first name, like a Josh McCown, Marcus Mariota.
Andy Dalton.
I know those are Andy Dalton, like a spot start, Ryan Fitzpatrick spot starter. And you say, hey, like, James, we're just going to draft this guy. Cause at that point, okay. Yeah. At this point, whatever quarterback you get, you're going to plop him in there. He's going to look around and he goes, I got Justin Jefferson out wide. I got BJ and Robinson behind me. I got Brian O'Neill and actually I'm doing it in reverse, but Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill on the tackles here. The interior, we're just not going to talk about that, but I got TJ Hockenson at tight end. So he's pretty good, right? Like you are stepping into this like souped up car, and the Vikings can still look and go like, okay, do we want to take a quarterback in 2024? I like Quinn Ewers. He's got a mullet that says I'm going to throw the game winning touchdown at 3 and play the Dodge County Fair at 8:30. You know, I mean, that's what the Vikings have
Teddy
to decide.
Back.
So,
bring
I mean,
Teddy back. Come on.
We love Teddy. We love
That'd be
Teddy
great.
Here. Some people don't, but
Yeah, we know why. He might come back to the North. Actually, I think the Lions made him an offer to be their backup. So that's interesting. The Lions, I've been,
you know, the fact he's still playing football is awesome to me.
Yeah.
Like regardless of, you know, you're probably in the same spot with him. If he doesn't suffer that knee injury, like good enough, but not, you know,
is he
not
like
great?
Like a two, would you compare maybe like he could have a career, not that he's two has been in the league that long, but kind of like that, where like Teddy could be good with the like bright pieces around him. If Teddy had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, he could put up kind of similar numbers,
or even more realistically, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Right.
Yeah,
like you got to the NFC Championship with Case Keenum.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a lot of what. Well, yeah. Well, it is cool that Teddy's still playing, because like when he did go down, everyone's like, oh, career's over. Like
his leg's like a war wound, or whatever.
His leg
that
was
doctor
hanging
said
by a thread.
Yeah.
The one good thing Eric Sugarman did when he was with the Vikings was save Teddy's leg. Like you said, you can get all the pieces, then you don't have to rush really to get a quarterback. You're going to have to do it sooner than later. But you don't have to be scramble maybe like you may, like you might have to next year, to get a quarterback if you don't have the right pieces on offense, whatever, and you need a quarterback to kind of take you over the hump or whatever. But yeah, teams like the Niners kind of do similar things where like they have the whole team built and then quarterback is where they kind of take a chance or they'll take a risk. And if it works out, then it's great. And then if it doesn't, it's okay. They're still going to be competitive because they have a good defense and they have a good offensive line. They have a good skill position players. Just need to figure out the quarterback position, which they are still trying to do. And then they stumble into someone like Brock Purdy, who just like, oh, we knew it all along. No, you didn't. So
his elbow is fine. Don't matter.
Yeah,
don't look at the man behind the curtain.
We should have talked about this. There was a top 10 list last week from some like Bears analyst who didn't include Kirk Cousins in the top 10 quarterbacks of the NFC. And he had like Brock Purdy at number 4 and Justin Fields.
This is just the NFC?
Yeah.
Or the
just
NFL.
The NFC, and he didn't have Kirk Cousins in there. He had Geno Smith. He had Kyler Murray, who's not going to play for like the first 2 months. He was like, this is for next season. This isn't for right now. I'm like, yeah, I know. Kyler Murray isn't even going to play for like the first 2 or 3 months. It was very interesting and predictable. Like, I feel like Bears fans, they've never had a good, like Jay Cutler is probably their best quarterback.
So they don't know what one
right.
looks like.
So they're like, Justin Fields is amazing. And I'm like, didn't like, you guys I just win five think- games?
I'm not a Kirk guy by any means, but I also kind of rush into to defend him a little. Like if we're just talking the NFC, like I'd rush in and be like, what are you smoking? A, can I have some? And B, seriously, what's wrong with you?
I think he had Sam Howell at number 10. I was like, you haven't even seen him play. And same thing with like Jordan. I think Jordan Love was in there too. Like you haven't seen these guys play. Kirk, you can rag on Kirk Cousins or whatever, not coming up in the big games. I think he was in the comments of this tweet or whatever being like, Kirk Cousins only has one playoff win or what? Well, okay. How many playoff wins do these guys have? How many times has Justin Fields been to the playoff? Zero. So if you're going to go by that, then Justin Fields should be at the bottom. But like, it was outrageous.
Part is as we're sitting here right now, Jordan Love is being possessed by Bart Starr for the next 15 years of his career. He's just going to sit there, his eyes are just going to turn all yellow.
The Packers are going to draft a receiver to help Jordan Love out.
And yeah. they're just going to take over the world and
win
one Super Bowl in 15
they're
years.
They're going to get Bijans and then we're gonna be screwed. All right. That's going to be it for today. We went kind of long, actually. Talked a lot about.
It was a hearty discussion
today.
It was
good. I enjoyed it. But if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to subscribe and like this video. We appreciate you if you've already done that. Follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. And the audio version of this podcast will be available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcast. But until next time, Chris and I talk to you later.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.